You know, shouldn't have any. You got easy last night.
It's cold.
You got shoes on.
I've got shoes on for the last 2 months.
I know. It's my barometer.
I was going to come without pants and shoes, but I would be all security.
Yeah, I'm going to have some shit going on.
Do you all rise, please, and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Carol, will you call a roll, please?
President Graves?
I am here.
Vice President Dawson?
I'm here.
Director Simon?
Here.
Director Steele?
Here.
Director Tatro?
Here.
Okay, now I got to get my cheat sheets out. Okay, time for public comments. Is there anybody here that would like to... Let me first see if this is for public comment or... Mr. Quist, do you want to speak with regards to something on the agenda or just a public comment?
It was my understanding that you were going to have some discussion about the DPOE.
The DBPOA?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's what brought all you fine folks in here tonight.
Yes, sir.
Where did you hear that information?
It was in the paper.
It was also on a postcard.
Email. No, it was an email.
Who sent that out?
Yeah.
They did.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Mr. Quist. Let's just discuss this here for a second. Is there something on the
agenda
specifically?
No, not at all.
I have to tell you, I want to apologize for any misunderstanding, although it didn't come from the board. I'm sorry for the misunderstanding. Our agenda items are posted 72 hours in advance on the town website, as well as in locations around town that staff is going to tell you where they are right now.
One over at the Dash, there's a bulletin board over by the Dash, by the Valero, and there's also a bulletin board right out front here, and they're also posted on the town website at www.todb.ca.gov.
That being said, we always have a time at the beginning of the meeting for public comment, so you are still invited to have 3 minutes at the podium to express your opinion on any subject matter that has pertinence to Discovery Bay, but we don't have any particular discussion on that item on our agenda tonight. Or do we know about one coming up, for that matter?
What was the topic that was discussed?
Does anybody have a copy of the email? Could I see that?
So Mike, you asked me about it the other night. That's right. I looked at your phone and you said I'm coming in for that topic. I said I'm not there.
Yeah, I remember we discussed that, but that's more.
So while that's occurring, is there anybody that has anything that they would like to speak in general terms about? Yeah. Please come to the podium and speak. Sir? Come on up.
The cards.
Well,
here's the email.
Okay. Here's the people. Here's the people that wanted to speak. Go ahead. Frank, Anthony, Roger, and Bob. I would invite any of you gentlemen to come forward and speak at this time if you'd like to. Come on up. Just come up to the podium. For you, those of you that haven't been to a meeting before, when you speak to the board, you come to the podium and you speak to the board, not to the audience, not to staff, but to the board. And you're more than welcome to speak on any item that has to do with Discovery Bay, and we welcome you guys here tonight, and I'm sorry for the misunderstanding.
Before you do, if I may, for a second.
Okay.
I'm looking at this is the email that they got. This comes from DBPOAC, Comcast, and it says on here, excuse me one second, you're being sent this email because it is felt that you're a concerned member of our community, as witnessed by your willingness to sign a recall petition. As more and more people become aware of the actions and intentions, the opposition has grown in proportion. This issue has come to the attention of the Discovery Bay CSD in order to list its help in resolving this issue. So this is, the DBPOA does not fall under the jurisdiction of the CSD.
As citizens, you fall under the jurisdiction of the CSD, and we're here to help citizens of Discovery Bay. With a specific item like the DBPOA, we have no authority over that. But if you'd like to express opinions about it in an open forum, please feel free to.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. My name is Anthony Steller. I
purchased my home in Discovery Bay in 1985. And yes, I would like to speak on the subject of the DBPOA. As far as I'm concerned, the DBPOA is a cancer on this community. And I'm hereby requesting that the subject of the DBPOA and its existence should be placed on the next meeting, the agenda of the next meeting of this council. Now, having said that, I'd like to give you a little bit of background. Most of you here came to this community after me. When I purchased my home, there were CCNRs recorded by the various developers, which covered my home as well as the track. These CCNRs guaranteed the property owner that they will never have to belong to a homeowners association. The CCNRs expired in 1988. The DBPOA came along in 1985, and while under franchise tax board suspension, they decided to record their own CCNRs. The CCNRs allege that they represent the entire community. All property owners have consented for them to record CCNRs, and they consented in writing. The fact is that there is no such evidence to that claim. It is ironic that the notary who signed these declarations, her commission expired 2 years prior to the signing of the document. In any case, there is no physical evidence to prove any of the declarations upon which the CCNRs were based. Now, having said that, the DBPOA is a corporation, and their directors inherently protected by law. They are insured, so therefore suing the directors by a property owner is a virtual suicide. The crux of the matter is that the areas that the DBPO encumbered with a stroke of a pen back in 1985, none of them have any common interest. The purpose of a homeowners association is a quasi-government entity of some kind to control privately owned property that's undivided, that's owned by all the property owners in common in the area where the association operates. We do not have such area, so therefore there is no compelling reason for the existence of this organization. Now, they survived over the years. They have been sued a number of times, and I personally spent upwards of $100,000 on various different lawsuits. There is a precedent in this case, because in 1989, there was a lawsuit filed against the DBPOA to ask them to produce the documents upon which they based their declarations. And they refused, and the ensuing lawsuit is known as Hall versus DBPOA. At the conclusion of the case, the judge ruled, I'm paraphrasing his statement, saying that private property basically cannot be encumbered by such slipshod methods that the DBPOA used, and ruled the CCNRs to be illegal. Subsequently, the Discovery Point area where the CCNRs that was the subject of a lawsuit was removed from the control and hasn't had CCNRs ever since. Now,
so I hate to interrupt you or to add, but we're running. Each person is about 3 minutes, and there's a lot of people here, and I'm not sure how many people want to speak. But again, jurisdictionally, I'm not sure you're telling the right story. It's interesting information, and I've always been curious as to what this other board is that I keep getting accused of being recalled from. And now I know.
Allow me to say two things.
Absolutely. If you wind it up for me, I'd appreciate it.
I have compiled a conclusive set of documents. In addition to that, I have original documents in my possession for dating all the way back to 1983 from directors of the organization, minutes, what have you. I can conclusively prove beyond reasonable doubt to anyone interested that this organization is fraudulent. And I'm asking once again the town council to place the subject of the DBPOA on the agenda, because what the DBPOA does affect this community. They in turn possess more power than this council by assumed authority. And if in fact they are not legitimate, they should be dealt with. We should turn them over to the district attorney or the agency that investigates quasi-governmental agencies.
Attorney General?
No, the
Secretary of State.
No, the county grand jury.
Yes, sir.
One of those two.
I appreciate your presenting that to us with regards to whether or not this can be an agenda item based on what our authorities are and our ability to deal with that. I'm going to leave up to staff and council to make a recommendation to us, to the board on that at another time prior to the next meeting or the next couple of meetings, but I will take it under advisement, sir. Anybody else want to speak to this issue?
My name is Roger DeFate. I've lived here for many, many years. I am a victim of the DEPOA. I started making this an expansion to my home in 2004. I took out a set of plans. I've got all the stamps from the county, the DEPOA, and all the government agencies that I needed to make this expansion to my home. I did the expansion to my home, and then I was a victim of what we call selective enforcement. For some reason, the DBPOA decided that I was to remove my existing driveway, which was part of the original house, and curb cut and sidewalk. Okay? They started fining me $140 a month, and I have bills in excess of almost $6,000. Pursuant to that, in 2009, they brought a lawsuit against me, which I had to spend almost $60,000 defending myself on the lawsuit. And the lawsuit was based upon me removing a driveway, curb cut, and sidewalk. We went to trial, and during the trial, the county man who was in charge of that was put on the stand, and he was asked, are you part of the DPOA? No. Are they your agents? No. Do you have permits from Mr. DeFate? Yes. Were they all legal? Yes. Did your inspectors go and inspect everything that was done on the property? Yes. Was he in violation? No. Do you have any plans to find Mr. DeFate as a result of that? No. So I had spent $60,000 defending myself against a frivolous lawsuit against a group of vindictive people that are still in power doing the same things to the same community. And it's just outrageous the things that they have done. And I am not a unique story in this episode.
I believe you, but I've heard your story. It's got its own infamy around town. I've actually heard this story before from other sources.
And it's terrible. I mean, I suffered a heart attack as a result of this. During this entire thing, I was dealing with one of my sons with cancer. I told that to these people. I said, you got to get off my back. I just can't deal with you. Didn't make any difference. They were out to get me for whatever reason, and they just wanted blood out of me. I have yet to collect the judgment that was against them for almost $50,000. And we need your help. Whatever help you can give us, we need it.
And you know, all I can promise you at this point is that we will look into where our jurisdiction is on this and what help we can give, and then we will inform you by at least agendizing an item that will of some response if we can do that.
Thank you.
That's all I can do at this point. Anybody else? Yes.
I'm going to give you these documents, but I didn't make copies for everybody. My name is Frank Byzantin. I purchased my home in 1989. I'm asking the CSD to assist with dissolving the Discovery Bay, the DBPOA. According to Corporations Code, either involuntarily or voluntarily. Attached, which I will give you, are public documents that, in my opinion, prove that the DBPOA board members, a notary official, DBPOA attorneys, Discovery Bay developers, and the DBPOA's paid contract workers either knowingly committed fraud or looked the other way. Through present times, these facts have been ignored and kept from the DBPOA homeowners. I'm going to give you a history of the DBPOA. It has a website where you can get any of these documents I'm going to show you. I've got the original Veronica Development Corporation CC&Rs, which I will give you. These things were supposed to expire in 1988. They say if a homeowners association was to be formed, it should be voluntary. I have the 1985 CC&Rs, which I'm going to give you. This is some of what Tony told you. When these CC&Rs were brought to the county, the DBPOA was under suspension of the Franchise Tax Board, which means this couldn't have happened. You will also see the notary stamp in here that it was expired. And these were not passed around to any of the DBPOA community anywhere that even knew about this. In 1985, this community had the wool pulled over its eyes. In 1987, I have a letter here from the attorney who represented the Hall case, which was those people on the Discovery Point. What I forgot to show you was this map. The area in red, which you have up there, is what's under the DBPOA. The other ones are under regular HOAs that have common interest properties, and the ones with no colors mean that there's no HOA. The CC&R is expired, and except for Discovery Point. Those expired for two reasons. They were sued, and they won their lawsuit, so they were allowed to get out of the DBPOA. The other tract up there was from Ed Cornell, whom the park is owned or named after. I have no idea how Ed got his tract out of there. There was no lawsuit. The last tract, and Ed's dead, the last tract are those nine homes that are still under their jurisdiction. But according with the lawsuit that was made, I have an attorney from the attorney who represented the DBPOA. This is known as the Hunch and Bluff letter. He was basically saying that if you just treat these people nice out here, they probably will ignore the fact that their CC&Rs are illegal, and you can just bluff them. The other thing he says is when a CSD comes along, they should probably go away. The last letter that I will give you is from the attorney from Christopher Joy. Christopher Joy represented the Halls and won that lawsuit. Then they went, 2 years later, they went to sue Peter Ratz. This attorney who represented them went back to Peter to them and said basically to all the board members that he couldn't believe they were still in business committing this fraud against the community. So I will leave you all of these documents. What I'm asking you to do is to please help us bring this to the district attorney or whomever else, and I would like to see this as an agenda item.
Do that tour.
This is total fraud out here.
Thank you for your presentation. Anybody else? Step on up. Well, we got sir. Somebody was already started forward, but you'll get your chance.
I didn't turn in a card, but my name is
it's
Jack.
Okay.
My name is Jack Snavely. I own the Dash. I moved to Discovery Bay in 2005. I'm not going to talk much about the DPPOA. I think there's enough been said about it already. But I am going to ask you guys to pick this up as an agenda item, simply because it doesn't make sense for us to have to create another organization in order to go after those guys. It's a community issue. We need some help. We need an organization. You guys are here. I would like to see you guys put this on the agenda and take some action. That's my point.
Thank you, sir. Bob.
My name's Robert Quist. I live on Discovery Bay Boulevard. I've had a couple of run-ins with them, but the main thing is we need your help. We really and truly do. We have been yelled at, screamed at, threatened at the meetings. If you don't believe me, go to one sometime. It is really horrible. It is truly horrible.
I'm not laughing because of it. I can only relate.
It's a true fact. I belong to the Harbor Bay Association up until 7.5 years ago. I was the president there, vice president. Never had I seen anything like this in my life.
Oh, we're civil over there.
Yes, you really are. Compared to these people, it's horrible. One more thing. I redid my driveway because we moved here 7.5 years ago from over there. They told me that I had to have green area on the right-hand side of my driveway looking out towards the street. I live on the corner of Laguna and Discovery Bay Boulevard on a half-acre lot.
On the east, southeast corner?
North.
Northeast, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Okay. I have more lawn than probably 90% of the people in Discovery Bay. They told me I needed a green area over there. I concreted over it, the small place. It's room for about a car. You can park a car there. That's the kind of things they do. They are horrible. We need your help. Thank you, sirs.
Thank you. Any other comments? As long as we're on this subject, please come forward.
I had a couple. I did want to just... Hello, my name is Bobby Nugent.
Hi, Bobby.
Hi, how are you this evening?
Good to see you.
I'm getting nervous. I'm going to have many people in the room. First off, I wanted to thank Mr. Dawson for his attendance at the school board meeting. We very much appreciate the community support. And then on to a different subject matter, and that would be the DBPOA. And I sit in the trenches of the drama with the DBPOA, and it's like no other thing I've ever been involved in, and it's actually been a nightmare. And I beg of you to look into things. I've been bullied, and I am definitely appealing to you to please help me. The CSD, I ask you to look into what the sheriff and the county does or does not do. You'll find that a lot of what the DBPOA covers is really what the county, the sheriff's office would cover. It's pretty much a property beautification club. And I'm here to tell you that I sit on the board, and I, from the get-go, have claimed that I see a value in the Homeowners Association. And I genuinely do. I've gotten written up before. I've never been fined. But sometimes you get caught up in life, and maybe you left a box out there in front of the garage, and you get a courtesy notice, and then you abide by it. And I've been fined for that. Unfortunately, what happens is that we've had a lot of variances given, and so it becomes selective. And I don't know how you reel that back in. I've said from the beginning that I saw the value in association, but not in its current capacity. Although I somewhat have a different opinion now, I'm actually going to be in small claims court tomorrow with the DBPOA with regards to the elections. And why am I going to small claims court? Because that is the only, that's where they instruct you to go. And thankfully for me that there is that avenue, because normally I'd have to dish out money for a retainer for an attorney. So I've got 6 violations of the elections codes, and we'll see what the judge has to say about that tomorrow. I mean, not tomorrow, Friday, excuse me. And then, things I want to cover. Just also want to mention about the DBPOA. A lot of people probably don't know its history, but in the beginning, it was what you guys are. Used to hold the forums for the candidates night for the school board. Back when there was more lots than there were, vacant lots than there were homes. And it was the entity that was formed to represent the people. And now we know that we have you to represent the people. And I beg you to look into the things with the DBPOA. I need your help. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to make mine short. I'm Lynn Willenberg, Tony Sellers' partner. I want to tell you first that I'm honored to stand at this platform that was donated to you by John Fritz, a very dear friend. He was hassled by the DBPOA during his lifetime and hassled after his death. The DBPOA controls one-third of this community and have more power than you do as our CSD. Therefore, this does become a community concern, and I'm asking that the CSD do whatever they can to help us. And I appreciate your concern.
Thank you for your comments. Any other comments? Any other public comments? Okay, go ahead.
It's not on the same topic, however. Although okay. I would ask if the exhibits that were handed to the board this evening could be made part of the minutes that come out at a following, you know, when the minutes are put together, because otherwise the public doesn't have any way of seeing these exhibits. I guess the alternative would be to file a public records request, but that seems a little unnecessary. Do you think you could do that, President Harris?
I'll talk to staff about that. I'm not, again, we're a little bit out of our element here, Mr. Flint, because we're not sure exactly what our jurisdictional, I'm not comfortable with what my jurisdictional powers are right now. Right. What I do know is that I have empathy for the situation, and I will guarantee you that to the extent that we can, we'll do everything we can.
I hope you guys can help, because it does sound like there's a lot of members of the community that have a concern. It's been a concern that's been going on a long time. So there's two things I wanted to mention. Back at the CSD meeting on January 19th, I raised a concern about one of the items on the consent calendar. It was E5 and item 52 regarding the charge of $360 for the chamber dinner. What I'd done is point out that the resolution that was approved was for $300 and the charge was for $360. And I asked about that, and President Graves, you asked General Manager Howard if there was a discrepancy between the amount of the resolution and the amount of the invoice. And Mr. Howard said, no, there was not. Then he went on and said, Mr. Flynn's correct, it was for five board members and myself. It seems like there was a discrepancy, but the response that was given was, no, there was no discrepancy. I would have liked to have brought that up during the meeting, but the rules don't allow me to. So I'm bringing it up now. And so what I would hope is that the board could look at that and see whether or not there was a discrepancy and then correct the record. The other thing is I attended a Contra Costa County Finance Committee meeting last week, and one of the topics on there was the Auditor Controller's Report. Supervisors Joy and Glover directed county staff to review several other mitigation funds to ensure that the purposes of those funds was still in place, because there was some concern about the Keller Canyon funds, the purpose shifting and the money going to places where probably shouldn't go. They also referred this report to County Council, asking for an opinion regarding the MAC AC functions, and then on to the Internal Operations Committee for their review. And what Supervisors Joy and Glover did say is that they understood the concerns that were presented, and the Auditor Controller's Office restated them during the meeting. Those concerns that our community doesn't have MAC representation. I wonder if some of these issues right here would be the CSD could handle differently if the latent funding powers were activated. So I guess what I would hope is that the CSD take on more of these issues and help the community out and do it properly through LAFCO and the county.
Any other comments?
I had something else on something totally different. Is that all right or no?
Yeah.
It's not the DBPOA.
It's really, well, we kind of give everybody one shot, Bobby.
Oh, you do? I didn't realize that.
Sorry about that.
Okay, that's okay. I'll come to another
meeting.
I'll come
to
another meeting.
There you go.
I'll look forward to it.
Any other comments? Okay, again, I apologize for the confusion. I'm glad you guys are all here. If you want to hang around and hear what goes on in the rest of the town and other business, please feel free to do so. It's standing room only tonight. Are there any presentations?
None this evening.
Thank you. At this point, it's time for chair report and director's comments. From the chair, I have a couple of different items, but first of all, I and Director Steele and General Manager Howard and myself, we attended the LAFCO meeting last Wednesday, I think it was. And at that meeting, there was the new representative that is representing the independent districts was sworn in, and it dawned on me that I had not given the report from the voting election that I'd gone to at the previous meeting. It happened almost 2 weeks before the meeting, and I had forgotten to report on it. So I asked General Manager Howard to put that item onto the agenda, and I see it's there tonight. So I would just like to move that item forward to this point in time so I can give that report that should have actually been given 2 weeks ago. So I'd like to move agenda item F4 forward to this point in time. Okay, I went to the, Excuse me. They swore in Mike McGill at the last meeting. He was elected as the independent district representative by a vote of, I believe, well, it was about eight votes. And the board had met and made a decision. Let me just turn this thing on. Sorry about that. The board, we had met and decided that that there were two candidates that were, it was actually a split vote. It's one of the only 3-2 votes we've had since the new session. And there was two candidates that the board was looking at. One was a gentleman named Mike McGill and one was a gentleman named Thomas Baldacci. The board voted 3-2 to vote for Thomas Baldacci. That was on the meeting prior to the election. I went to the elections, and I believe actually it was the next day, Thursday morning, I think it was, the day after that meeting. And there were seven candidates on the ballot, of which six showed up that day. And they all gave their presentations as to what their qualifications were. At the time that we had the meeting here, I had mentioned that the reason that I had been leaning towards Thomas Baldacci, and in fact I voted for Thomas Baldacci, was because he was the only one that had reached out to me and actually had called me and told me why he wanted to be on LAFCO. After hearing the qualifications of all the candidates, I have to tell you that if I would have had the autonomy to vote for any candidate, I wouldn't have voted for either one of Mike McGill or Thomas Baldacci, because there were some extremely qualified candidates that came forward and told us what those qualifications were. People with years of experience on different boards in this jurisdiction. But after hearing that, I changed my mind as to which candidate I felt was the most qualified of the two that the board had looked at. And actually, I think we had a primary and an alternate, I think is the way it went. Because those elections can go sideways sometimes when you have that many candidates. So I'd gone forward with two candidates, a primary that was the majority vote, and then the secondary, which was the minority vote at the time. Again, while being there, after hearing all the qualifications, it was the qualifications of Mr. McGill far exceeded anywhere close to what the qualifications of Mr. Baldacci were, and I personally didn't feel right about having that gentleman represent our district, and it was a 3-2 vote. I changed my vote at that point, which then changed the complexion of what the board vote was. It didn't change the board vote. The board vote was still three votes for Mr. Baldacci, and so I didn't think about it that way at the time, but it was pointed out to me, and after listening to the minutes, it was very clear to me that was the direction the board went. Nonetheless, I believe if anybody here on this board would have been there that day, they would have felt the exact same way I did. The qualifications just didn't match up. So I voted. I voted for Mike McGill on the ballot, and in fact, he was the successful candidate. In essence, our vote didn't change anything because, like I said, the gentleman, it was kind of moot that Mr. McGill won by eight votes, so he would have won by seven votes if we would have gone another direction. But I did want to let the public know, let the board know how I had voted and why I reasoned that I would vote that way. So if I have in any way betrayed any trust, or if anybody feels that I've done something improper. I apologize for that, and I think technically I probably have, and so I probably I didn't have time to come back to the board at that point. I'm sitting in a meeting and the vote's going on, so I voted my conscience, which made the majority on a split vote go towards Mike McGill as opposed to Thomas Baldacci. Other than that, Mr. McGill was sworn in at the last LAFCO meeting and went up and took his spot on the board. I just wanted to explain that process. Other than that, I went to three meetings this month. I went to the LAFCO meeting, I went to the Contra Costa Fire Protection District meeting, and I went to the Aviation Advisory Council meeting. And I, other than the fact that the Airport Commission does a wonderful job of staying on budget, they're dead on the money. It was interesting that the projects that are occurring out here in East County with the Byron Airport are being reduced dramatically. There was about 8 hangars that were supposed to go in, and they're down to 3 now that they're asking to build out there. So obviously the economy is affecting the progress and the success of the airport, but they seem to be doing okay. And at the ECCFPD Fire District meeting, they are talking about putting forward a benefits assessment, which will affect everybody in the district, in order to fund the existing fire stations that are open. They have not yet addressed whether or not they ever have any intentions of opening, and actually their budget doesn't allow for it. The bottom line is they're making no attempt or any accommodations for reopening any stations that are closed. In fact, I personally don't feel they're asking for enough money to even get themselves out of the hole they're already in. Not necessarily their fault. They were handed, you know, a flawed system, but it's unfortunate that they're not even considering assessing enough money to consider opening back up the stations they closed. So that's all I have to report tonight. Other?
You moved F4, which is an action item, and you took it up to your report.
Is it an action item?
Yes, it is.
So okay.
It needs to.
It was a report on the special district, election district to LAFCO, and that's what I did. I reported on.
Well, yeah, but it's under an action item, which could be discussed by the board and by the
absolutely.
Board. Yeah. So it should, at this point, be treated as an action item, I believe.
Is that true, counsel?
It is listed under the agenda under F4 as new business and action items. It does.
I did move it up, report. So we should talk about it now.
You should talk about it, and any item on the agenda the public is entitled to comment on.
Absolutely. So So let's then go back to F4. I just want to complete my report before I finish. So item F4 now is as an action item, the report's been made. Any comments?
I have a comment.
Okay.
I accept your apology for what you did, but I still have an issue with it. We're going to make decisions on this board, right or wrong. We're going to make decisions we may not like after we make, but a board order to me is a board order. And if this board debates something and votes on it, and we carry it forward for the president to take our vote, then that's the way the vote should be. I don't believe that you are entitled to change the vote, nor are you entitled to change your vote. The vote happened here and was already done. I don't have a problem with your reasoning for it. I mean, you like the other guy better, but I do believe, as far as I'm concerned, if this board votes, then that's the vote that should be carried forward. That's my opinion on it, right or wrong.
Other comments?
Yes. I have the same feeling. I really strongly believe have a problem with it. I mean, you broke the trust in the board. The board trust that we had a board order, we voted on a subject, we debated it, and we decided on a person to vote for, and you decide that you know better than the rest of us, and there were you. We don't have even know about it. You know, we just found out about it. We wouldn't have found out about this at all if it hadn't come to light with someone. So we entrusted that you would go there and perform your duty as the president of the board, which is one of 5 people, not the one higher authority. You are one of 5 directors. And I don't think you get that. That's a problem. If it was up to me, you wouldn't be the president anymore because of this this thing. I feel that badly about it. You broke the trust of the board. Period.
Any other comments? It's on the agenda because I asked, oops, I turned that off. It's on the agenda because I asked the director to put it on the agenda after the LAFCO meeting because once I saw Mr. McGill being sworn in, it dawned on me we hadn't done that. So I'd gone forward. I asked Mr. Howard to put this on the agenda, so I wasn't trying to hide anything from anybody. Secondly, one vote is one vote. You're exactly right. No one vote's any better than anybody else's vote. I was sent forward with two names. It was a split vote. Again, I apologize for the technicality that was breached, but that's it. I apologize for the technicality that was breached. That's all I have to say.
It wasn't a split vote. Please don't make that characterization. It was, we voted for that guy, and if that guy did it, it couldn't go on, you had an alternate in the event there was an alternate needed. You did not have an alternate needed. You made that decision. Please, let's not say what it isn't, okay?
It was a split vote. Three to two was the vote.
Yeah,
My changing the vote changes the direction of the vote.
You can't change your vote.
You can't change your vote. Well, it is a board vote, not your
vote. I apologize for this already. What can I tell you? I'm sorry. I'm telling you right now, if you would have been there and heard the testimony, I guarantee you would have felt the same way. You might have not taken the same action, but you would have felt the exact same way. That's all I can explain. Any more comments from the board?
I have a comment. So it is important that when the board is up here and we gather as much information as we can to make a decision, it's important that when that vote is cast as the board here, that has to stand next time if there's some sort of a change or something, then we need to have a special meeting or some other communication to make that happen. But I do think that it's important that we stand as a board and our decisions stand as a board, and the record reflects that. So, and I understand your situation and your comments, and I appreciate the feedback.
And I agree with that. I agree with what all three of you said. And that's why I'm apologizing for it. And it was a that's all I have to say. I understand that, and I understand the flaw in my reasoning, and it won't happen again. So is there any comment from the public on this issue? Item F4. Okay. Moving along to the consent calendar. Oh, so I'm sorry, other director's comments. I apologize. Any other comments from the director?
Is there time about this?
Do you have something, Brian?
I attended the last school board meeting, which is always the Thursday after ours, but I left my report in my printer. The highlight of it was there is a group of fiddlers at the Timber Point, and they practiced during lunch, and they actually came and did a little performance, and it was fantastic. And Odyssey of the Mind, which is a extracurricular activity at Discovery Bay Elementary School, the children involved came and gave a little brief synopsis of what they'll be doing, and it was really fantastic. So.
Mr. Steele, Director Steele, any comment?
Yeah, on February 9th, I attended the LAFCO meeting, again with Kevin Graves, President Kevin Graves, and General Manager Rick Howard. Highlights were Mike McGill, upon being sworn in, was immediately moved to be nominated and seconded as chair for 2011. The LAFCO is presently working on a 2012 budget proposal. There's a lot of cuts and impact with the economy. There was interesting fire service redesign discussion. I guess the head representative for the United Professional Firefighters of Contra Costa County commented that another study was just a waste of time. There was a lot of feedback on, we need to do another study. We need to spend another $100,000 to figure out how we can do fire services better. And his comment was, why don't we just get all the fire chiefs in one room and get this worked out and hammer it out in a meeting. So there was good, it was good to see the commissioners in action. They set a very good example for all of us. So they operate at a very high level. They follow their agendas. They're very clear and concise in their discussions. There's no side talk going on, and they adhere to a very strict protocol, and I hope we can strive to bring our meetings to that level. Just for a heads up, there's a Myrant Marsh Landing generation power generation station. It's a $650 million project going on over here in the city of Antioch, and it's amazing. These guys have been working for 2 years on this project to get all the approvals necessary, and the city of Antioch with their budgets, and they're unable to make decisions on how they can connect the wastewater system over to this plant. And it was just, it's amazing. It's such a big project, and there's been so much going on, and it looks like their city council and their mayor have sat on their hands. And it was just an observation that when there's that, where then there's important projects, we need to raise the awareness and have a strong dialogue. So anyway, it was a good meeting, and I brought some handouts for your reference.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I had one other thing.
Sure, go ahead.
We did have a community center committee meeting, and this is one of the three committees that we are putting together. And there is going to be some, we put out a press release today saying that we're going to be looking for citizen involvement in three committees, ours, the community center, communications, and a budget committee. And so hopefully you'll see that in one of the, somewhere. But basically we're looking for people who want to serve on these committees, along with two directors, to help work on what we trying to get through with this community center. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Director Tetro, for that. Is that also posted on the website?
Yeah, I was just going to mention that it is on the Delta Sun-Times website. I believe that it's going to be in the DB Press on Friday.
Uh-huh.
And it is on our web. If it's not on our website yet, it will be very shortly.
So spread the word, community
and,
involvement.
And those, we're seeking applications through March the 11th.
Baptism. Okay, moving along to the consent calendar, I believe that there was a request to pull item 5 from the consent calendar. Oh, does that need a motion?
No, sir.
Okay, we're pulling item 5 for the consent calendar, so I entertain a motion to accept the consent calendar items 1 through 4.
I'll make the motion.
I'd also like to pull number 3.
Okay. Number 3 and number 5 to be pulled from the consent calendar. So, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so then do we have a motion for 1, 2, and 4?
I'll make that motion. We approve items 1, 2, and 4 of the consent calendar.
I'll second it.
Okay, motion has been made and seconded. Any comments from the board? Comments from the public? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Point of order. This is I'm missing the consistency. Are we supposed to now move those items to F5 and 6, or do we discuss those items now?
Right now.
Okay.
Unless you do want to move
them. Then let's discuss item E3 as the first action item on the board. Ray, you wanted that pulled. Can you move forward with that?
Please? Yeah. You know, this is an out of the agency hookup for sewer, which I have no problem with, but it is, I believe it's something that we should put under action and discussion.
Okay.
Because it's something different, and I don't think believe it should be on the consent calendar. But this is not the first time we did it before, actually right next door to this property, and it's because of the safety issue. Their septic is failing, and the county doesn't want more septics, and we don't want a bad septic to possibly leach and into our aquifer and actually affect our water. So it's actually our benefit, and we can't normally let other people hook into our district, but in this case, this is allowed for because it's a safety issue.
I have a question, Ray. Yes. Since you're familiar with that, so you're saying that we already have a line running underneath the highway over to that house that was rebuilt next door to it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I wasn't even aware of that.
Yeah, same thing. They had the septic fail, and this was back in 2005 or something.
So will they then? Will they just? Well, we don't care about the expense. They kept
the
expense.
They paid for everything.
So we don't. So there's no cost impact. There's no fiscal impact. What's the size of the home, and how many bathrooms, and how much are we talking about here?
The home is just under 1,400 square feet. It's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home.
Okay. I don't have any other. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I got a question.
Go ahead.
In as much as we're on the hook for Hoffman for a certain number of homes, does he have any say-so in this before we hook somebody else up before him?
I would say no. This is a one-off situation. It's a health and safety issue. We do have capacity at the present time beyond the Hoffman required. Beyond that, we don't know if we have the capacity until we have our studies completed.
Dr. Stu?
No.
Dr. Dawson?
No.
Ray, you okay? Any comments from the public on this?
My comment was there's a lot of unknowns involved in this. The homeowner apparently can still decide how he wants to go about the hookup. There doesn't seem to be a deadline for when it has to happen. And I just would think that it can come to the board with more facts on what will happen and when it will happen, so the board can make a decision like that. It seems to me, from what I read, maybe I missed it, the board can approve it and the homeowner can hold off on doing it for an extended period of time. And therefore not even resolve the problem that we're trying to resolve. I would think that we would want to have a deadline. He's definitely increasing the value of his property by getting this approval. And he may not even be planning on doing the work. I'm not saying he's not, and I'm not even against it. But I would think that we would want to know when it's going to happen and how it's going to happen.
Any other comment? Any other comments?
I called the wrong one, that thing. I'm muting myself.
Any other comments? Okay, hearing none, I would entertain a motion if there is one.
I'll make a motion that we approve this item.
I'll second that.
Did you have, time for more comment if necessary?
Well, yeah, because I would make the motion that we look into this, because I happen to have some of the same concerns Mr. Flint has. We're giving this as carte blanche. We're just saying, yeah, we're hooking you up and not having a clue. I believe that we should now take this to the next step of exactly when they're going to do it, what the cost is going to be, how they're going to pay for it, any effects, so that we have a cut in stone.
I'm not clear what risk we're taking. That's what I, are we taking a risk here?
Well, we're not really taking a risk. LAFCO is the driving agency in this. We are. LAFCO came to us and said, can you accept this person in your system? Would you be amenable to an out-of-agency service to provide sewer service to this property? And so by this action tonight, you would be authorizing that service to occur. LAFCO then would impose the conditions upon which you speak of, and we can certainly include them in a letter back to LAFCO asking for clarification. It will go back to LAFCO, to their board, to the LAFCO board, for final authorization, and they will be the ones who put all the conditions in place at that time.
Okay, the only reason I'm asking is, if 4 years down the road, if this guy doesn't hook his sewer up and decides to sell 4 years down the road, and a guy moves in and builds a 5,000 square foot house there and then hooks us, or if somewhere in the meanwhile, Hoffman comes in and puts his 600 homes in, and we're out of sewer space, and then the guy says, I want to hook up my 5,000 square foot home, we wouldn't be able to do it. So I just like to have it where we have some kind of a parameters of what we're going to let the guy do and when we're going to do it. If we could put that in a motion, I'd be fine with it.
I don't have a problem amending my motion.
I'll amend my second.
Valid points. I understand, Mark. Appreciate the comments. There is no time frame addressed by this. Is it unusual to happen this way, or is it okay for? I mean, I'm at a loss for what we're being asked for by who at this point. I guess is this an indefinite okay? Can it be stipulated that it's only for the home that exists today? I would be happier to see that be put in there, that this be stipulated that it
for
happens
the structure
for the structures that exist today. Then
fine.
We don't have that problem.
And maybe some kind of a time frame. So if we do build out in the meantime,
is that
waste of years?
Is experience tell us that we're okay doing something like that or not?
I don't know about that part of it. We've only
Council, any comment?
Yes, LAFCO just approves whether you as a public entity can provide service outside of the boundaries of your jurisdiction. They will then condition it upon an agreement. When you look at the resolution that's being presented to you tonight, it has as a condition that on 4.1 that the landowner shall enter into a contract with the district. That contract would have to come back before this board for approval.
Perfect.
So we do have some more say about this in the future. We can decline it in the future.
What they're basically saying is LAFCO will say, okay, you can give service to this property owner. They will provide any kind of restrictions that they feel are necessary, but it would still be subject to an agreement with the district.
The landowner shall be subject to all the rules, regulations, and ordinances of the district. I mean, we do have control of the situation even as it goes forward, so I guess I my fault for not...
And that's a matter of the way it works. When we go into that, we actually have the landowner sign, we actually have an agreement that he actually, what we've done in the past is they actually had to put money in advance.
Into an escrow account.
In an escrow account, and then, because every cent the district spends for this, they have to reimburse. It costs us no money at all.
Well, yeah, reimburse or pay up front, something along those lines, whatever the conditions are. Okay, are you comfortable with that?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
So we're gonna go with the original motion then, based on what's in the resolution?
Yeah, that's fine.
Are we clear on that? Ray, your original motion carries?
Sure.
You okay with that? I'm sorry, guys. Just to get it. Okay, so, having heard that discussion and having had that cleared up, and I appreciate those comments, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Item number 5 was asked to pull that off the agenda. Who would like to speak to item number 5? Staff.
Thank you. This is a Measure WW Local Park Grant Program application as it relates to Cornell Park Playground Replacement. And there's just one item that Baron wants to discuss with you. I missed it earlier, and so she wants to bring it to your attention.
Go ahead. I'm not going to reinvent the wheel and discuss the project again. We've kind of talked about it in a few board meetings, but as far as the application for the grant goes, there is an additional fund request from the grants. We have about $580,000 in our fund. In order to complete the project, as we discussed during the workshop, we would need about $111,000 from the WW grant fund. Now, the way that works, and I just want you to be clear on it, is that we pay for everything up front. It's a reimbursement program. So after this project is accepted by them, this application is accepted, and we make those payments, we can submit for reimbursements on those payments that we have already processed. Now, if we approve the project and we begin to move forward and sometime down the line, I'm not anticipating this, but say they don't approve this project, we're not going to get reimbursed for that full amount. So I don't anticipate that happening at all, but I just want you to know it's a possibility.
That's SOP for grants, though. I mean, that's just the way grants work. That's the good news and the bad news of a grant, right?
Yeah. Well, we're allotted a certain amount of money per the contract we're already in with them with our master agreement, but they still have the final say-so on which projects they approve.
What's the total amount of the project?
$226,000 with the reserve.
And how much of that is going back
to that? We have $115,000 in our budget set aside already, which has been previously approved, which would leave, we would need $111,648 in grant funds.
And those are available currently,
we have $580,000 right now.
Thank you for clearing that up. Are there any questions from the board on that?
I just have one for Farron. How long until we know whether or not they've accepted the grant on average? I mean, I know that I'm asking for a needle in a haystack, but when we did the WW grants before, right? Or did we just enter into the master contract?
No, we just did the master agreement. Okay. Last year we missed the deadline for an application submission. So we actually have to submit by the end of March. Mm-hmm. Our application has to be in by that time. And I don't have my manual in front of me, but it does say in there somewhere, like, usually how long the processing is of that. Okay. I'm guessing it'd be, you know, less than 90 days or so.
I'm going to suspect that it would probably be consistent with the fiscal year. Yeah. I don't want to say that definitively because I don't know definitively, but that would be my guess.
Okay.
During the timing is March, and they want to have it approved for the beginning of the fiscal year for July 1. That's what my guess would be.
I mean, I was just curious. Think of that.
Comments from the public on this issue? Okay.
I make a motion that we pass this item.
I'll second it.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any comments on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Okay, on to item F1. East Contra Costa Fire Protection District Board Representation. I actually asked for this item to be put on the agenda because we didn't have any, or it was very lax at best. Director Finetti from the ECCFPD was our representative from East County, and because of obligations, whether they be work or family, he regretfully has missed numerous meetings, not only there, but here. Understanding what our concerns are, and it's pretty hard to take your concerns forward if you're not here to hear what they are. And as of 11 o'clock this morning, I believe 1100 this morning, Mr. Finetti resigned from the board. So that was the initial reason for putting this on, was I was going to get a motion to move forward with the supervisors to replace him. But he understands and appreciates that, and he resigned from the board, and he apologized for not giving better representation. And so that leaves us to move forward with another representative. I did speak to the chairman of that board today for at length and had a discussion with him about that. Our board of supervisor for our district is out of district currently. When she returns, she will be putting together a posting, and the way it works is that they will post this as an opening, and then there'll be 10 days to apply for that position. And then the posting will close, the applications will be reviewed, and a decision will be made, and an appointee will be put onto the board to represent the third district, or excuse me, yeah, to represent us. We will obviously encourage the supervisor to choose somebody from Discovery Bay, being that we are the largest population base outside of the cities that are represented on the board. And it was indicated to me by the chairman of that committee that in fact he would have hoped that somebody from our board might represent us out there, as well as because Brentwood and Oakley are well represented. Unfortunately, that can't happen because of the way our incompatibility as a CSD is. So it will have to be somebody that's not on this board. Am I correct, counsel?
Yes.
Okay. So I put it forward at this point. Keep your eyes and ears open. Watch the website as soon as the posting opens up. I'm sorry. Time out. I'm sorry.
Okay. If that compatibility holds true, why do we have council people from Brentwood and Oakley on there?
They are part of a joint powers agreement, and under the incompatibility of offices, there's an exception for those situations. The two spots that are left open are at large. The one that you're speaking about is the vacancy, is an at large.
So that actually is a distinction?
Yes, sir. Okay. Think of it this way. It'd be like three businesses going in and buying a fourth. Each of those three businesses have a stake in that fourth, and therefore they don't have an incompatibility situation because they do have a joint interest. You, though, have no interest since you're not members of the JPA, and thus the rules of incompatibility of offices would apply. If you do want to get on, the moment that you were appointed, you would then forfeit this office.
So that's the way it stands as of right now. Keep your eyes open. The minute we know that the posting is going to be open, it'll be on the website. If you're interested, keep your eyes peeled on the website. Staff will have that put on there as quickly as we know something different. And so I don't believe we have any action on that item tonight. Originally, it might have been to have a letter go forward, but as I explained, that's probably not necessary at this point. Item F2, this is staff bringing forward a report.
Thank you. Tonight, this item is before you this evening, just more for staff to get board input and feedback. I know it sounds like it's a long time away, but 2025 is shorter than you think. It's 15, 14 years from now. And in order to install water meters at the remaining parts in town, the remaining properties in town, it's going to be a multi-year project. We currently have approximately 3,600 connections that still need to be connected. What I'd like to be able to do is get some feedback from the board as to what your preferences would be with respect to that. I think that it would be appropriate at some point in time in the near future to establish an implementation schedule of some sort so that we can go ahead and take that forward. We currently have about 16 residential, 300 or so commercial properties, a total about 1,900 that we currently bill through water meters, mostly in the northwest part of town. And so this would cover the area pretty much in the downtown Discovery Bay area that's not currently serviced by water meters. AB 975, which was implemented a couple years back, gives us that 2025 date deadline. I think it would be prudent to have an internal date deadline of a few years before that. I'm recommending 2020 by January 1st, 2020. That's still 9 years away. In discussions with Virgil Caney, our water wastewater manager, it's probably a 4 to 6 year project to get everybody online once we start it, depending on the implementation schedule. So I'm just looking for feedback tonight. Just discussion items, where do you want to go with it? I know it's been a topic in the past, and it's going to continue to be a topic in the future, but I'd certainly like to at least get some board feedback with respect to implementation.
Do you have comments about this? Do you have comments about this, Director Simon?
Why, I do. I suspect. First of all, we don't really know how long it's going to take to put it in, because we're going to end up contracting that, most of that out, I'm assuming. So until we speak to whoever's going to put them in and get a realistic bid of, I believe this could be done in a couple of years' time. If you have a contractor doing it, it could probably be done in a year's time. We're going to sit down and look at a budget coming up shortly that's going to be god-awful. And if we put meters in and we start looking at doing it far earlier than they're due, the first thing people do is they conserve. When they start conserving, we have less revenue, which means we raise their rates even higher. And the thing that I have fought over this, because I'm dead against the meters, especially when we don't have water you can drink. The issue that I have is that you've got people right now in a terrible economy. And the last thing they want to hear is we're getting ready to put a bill in their mailbox. We're going to put your meter in that's not due until 2025, but we're going to put yours in early and let you start getting a bill. I don't want to be part of the board that does that. And I'm not going anywhere. So I don't think we should even be discussing this for years down the road. And maybe I'm wrong, but in a worst case scenario where it might take 3 years to put the meters in, then let's start talking about this in 2015 or 16. That's my opinion.
Director Dawson.
I think, you know, I understand what Mark's saying, and I agree a lot with that, but I think we should move forward with a plan so that when the day comes that we are ready, we have all our ducks in a row. And I think we should try to figure out exactly how the metering is going to affect the district, so we have an understanding. So when we do actually do it, we can properly budget for that.
Not our budget, but that's okay. The homeowners are paying for it.
No, I'm talking about the loss of revenue.
It's going to change our revenue, which is going to change our budget, which means we're going to raise their rates. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's fine.
We could go out and look at different communities that are in a similar situation that we're in and kind of get an idea, feel for what their real life experiences are. And we can certainly do that at any time. From a staff standpoint, that's not really an issue. But again, I just see this looming, and while it is a number of years off, I just wanted to keep it on your radar screen more than anything.
You support it, I can't see that. Director Steele, do you have some comments?
So we've got 14 years till the deadline. I think that we need to do some modeling, and I think we should begin that modeling and implementation plan or design the plan after 2015.
Let me say that this board member agrees with that 100%.
In no way do I mean to disagree with my fellow board members here, especially tonight. But
go ahead.
But I just want to make one point clear, and that is that absolutely conservation will be a part of this, and therefore consumption will go down, and therefore the budget, the amount of water. But it's not a net increase to the consumer. Just because you raise the rates of the water that they're using less, so they may not be paying any more. In fact, they may be paying less.
The homes that are being metered are paying less per month than the homes that aren't metered currently. So we don't know necessarily that it's going to cost each individual more. We know it's going to cost them the amount of the meter. We know that that's coming out of the pockets of the homeowners. But whether or not, this is part of what we don't know. This is why the modeling is important and why we need to put together some projections and see where it's going to be, which is, I think, is kind of what we're all trying to say. I'm not, I do know that the longer we wait, the more it's going to cost each homeowner to do, because if construction rates just don't go down. So the longer we wait to do it, the more it's going to cost to have it done. Those are my only direct comments to it. Yes.
I also, we spoke about this, Rick, but right now, if we were, say, hypothetically, and I'm not trying to say we are, to move forward tomorrow, when we put the meter on, the residents have a year to pay that meter, right?
Correct.
Now, one of the things I'm concerned with is there's not many, but I do know of some residents in this community who are on an incredibly fixed income. They're older, on Social Security. And I'd like to see if there was a possibility that we could put together some kind of hardship policy where we could spread that out to 2 years instead of 1 year.
Well, that's getting pretty specific at this point in time, but
that would be a decision of the board.
I appreciate that. Any other comments from the board? Comments from the public on this issue?
I don't think it's a fact or a truism that the construction costs are going to go up or that the meter costs are going to go up. I think a lot of this technology may actually go down in price, and the technology may improve over time. So I understand, President Graves, it's your opinion, but I don't think it's a fact.
Well, I've spent 30 years in construction, and I know that today it costs more to produce something than it cost 10 years ago to do it. Never changed, but I appreciate that's just been my experience. I speak from being in the industry and doing it, and that's always been my experience.
But you know what, to be controversial, but I'm just saying in Ironside, it's the water meters that were in Discovery Bay West actually had to be removed and replaced with different ones because the technology has changed. Mm-hmm. So technology has changed, so there may be, in 2 years, in 3 years, there might be a better product.
You're absolutely correct. In fact, I believe that the general manager and our water manager went to something up in Sacramento not too long ago and saw some really neat water meters I heard about, because this is what I hear about when you guys come back from conventions. They were higher tech and better. And you're absolutely right. The government's always changing the moving target, and there were some issues with the substances that were used in some of the meters, and they had lead that was in some of the meters. So that's another factor, absolutely. We're going to eventually get to that point where it's not going to matter what they're changing. But it's another valid point. So anyway,
It's not really the cost of the meter. It's the cost of the labor to dig
out. That's what I was referring to.
Cut the pipe, put the new meter in.
Construction costs.
Exactly.
Anyway, so did you get the discussion you were looking for there, sir?
Yes, sir.
Wow, that was wonderful. Thank you.
Come back in a couple of years.
Come back when you do the next one, because we enjoy that.
Item number F3. Who's going to talk about item? Oh, am I correct? Are we there?
Yes.
Okay. I got jumped around so much here. F3. Is that staff?
Yes. Landscape manager Farron Perez is going to give this report. It is a direction to staff to support a letter of support for the Slifer Park project. We discussed this at our workshop back on January the 22nd.
During our January 22nd workshop, we did talk about doing an improvement project to Slifer Park. Members of the community, or numerous members of the community, came forward in support of putting in pickleball courts, and in discussions with the school next door and other members of, besides the pickleballers, that shade structures would be of use there as well. We also, in the workshop, talked about a restroom. There were some concerns that were expressed on all those fronts, and kind of came back together and In the meantime, had to give some budgetary numbers to the county on what we thought we'd be doing next year. My request to them was to put $300,000 in the capital for this project and any other replacements that need to happen. I also removed the restroom from that. There were some concerns where that might be not warranted as of yet, and also the planning process that would go along with that would significantly slow down any other improvements there that we could do. So if we do end up doing a restroom down the road, so that's not on. The total funding for this project to do the bocce ball courts and the two shade structures is estimated at $235,000. Again, we don't own this district. I'm not asking for you guys to approve that budget amount. I'm just asking if you are in agreement with this project and would like to see this in the community, that the direction is to me or our staff that we can begin working with the county district who does own it and or department and give a letter of support that we're behind that project.
Okay, so the action item you're looking for from the board tonight is just a stamp of approval, basically saying that we think it's a good idea?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that presentation. Any comments from the, you're on the,
yeah, right? Brian and I met with Farron. It's a great project. It's going to make a world of difference, and I think we should move forward with it.
Other comments from the board?
I don't understand the delay for having restrooms. I thought that was a key part of doing the upgrade to the park, and so I don't understand the delay. What is the delay? It should only be several months. It shouldn't be like years.
There's a couple things. Yes, you're right. Well, let's talk about, for example, I can only talk about what I know. The other project that we have, which is just installing a basketball court in Zone 57, has been approved since last summer. We are just going to turn in tomorrow our development plan modification because there's a CEQA review that you have to do with the county there. Then you have to put a package together. You have to send it back to the county department who owns it, and you have to get their approval. We have to get you guys to approve the check and the project again. Now I can turn it in 4 to 6 months from tomorrow, and then we can put it up to bid, and then we can construct it. So it's almost like a 2-year process. So from the time that you guys approved the budget, and it's just, I'd love for it to move faster. It just hasn't. We're working out that relationship with the county right now, especially in those zones. And until that happens, if we put the restroom in this project, it would tie it down. Also, the manager of these districts was, when we were kind of discussing it, a little concerned about the cost of the restroom and those projects together. So it might be wise to put that off in another phase later down the road.
So I would just ask that we would have a plan to put a bathroom in, a restroom in, and fast track that also in parallel.
You can't fast track it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
no such thing as fast track.
Once we figure out how this process is going to work with the county, there's some other agreements on the side besides this that where we are trying to get more control within our board of what types of projects are done at that park and those zones, not just that park, but the zones on the other side of town. If that comes to fruition ever, that would give us a greater possibility of putting a 5-year plan out, you know, knowing what's going forward. Until that point, I know that there's been discussions about wanting to work directly with them, with other members of the landscape committee, the board committee that does the landscaping, and getting to kind of know her and her knowing what we want to do or as for the residents in town.
Does anyone on the board, is anybody on the board opposed? Was there any reason we didn't want to have bathrooms there? Am I missing something? Are we all okay with that?
Yeah.
So I guess what Director Steele is saying is that if we are going to send forward a letter of recommendation, we'd like to send it forward including bathrooms?
You'd have to do the whole process, the approval process again with the bathroom.
I had to submit budget numbers to the county. Right now, this year, all I requested is $300,000. They have to give that to their engineer. They have to work out the numbers, figure out how that works. It's not even approved yet on their side. It has to be approved yet. So if we spent that money all at once and we did every part of that project, you're going to significantly reduce the funds that are there. There are, besides the park there, there are other landscape frontages and streetscapes that have large areas of plantings that have died out that need to be replaced, mulch that needs to go down. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of other high-cost maintenance works that are going to be going on in the next couple years as well. So I don't want to just get rid of it all at once.
Okay, I'm not going to change. I was speaking out of turn, actually. But what we want to do is talk about the proposal as it went forward, as you presented it, understanding that it's our desire that, you know, that we move forward with bathrooms as time permits. Exactly. So any other comments from the board?
No.
Comments from the public?
I have a comment on that.
Yes, sir.
The funds that are coming from our assessment taxes. My name is Marshall Harris. I live over in the lakes. The money that you're asking for to improve Slipper Park comes to $360,000?
I'm asking for $235,000.
Okay, $235,000. The total expenditures for maintenance and reserves for the year 2010-2011 is $148,000. Now,
for this year?
I pay
for this year?
Yeah, they're coming. Yeah, 2011.
11-12?
Yeah.
Okay.
I pay out of my assessment, and I don't use the park. We pay for maintenance, not improvements. And I don't agree with you putting in new items in this park with the monies that we have in our assessment. I'd rather have my money back. Okay? So if that's the case, I'd rather improve the area where I live. We just spent $10,000 improving our little park. But I don't mind the maintenance. Okay? That's for everybody and everybody to use that park. But as part of where I live and my assessment and my taxes, I don't think that that's right for you to take my money and spend it on something that I don't agree with. I think you should ask us before you spend the money. I think a letter should go out to every homeowner out here and see if they agree with you spending their money for the items that you want to put in this park. I want to lower my assessments, and you can take and put my money back in my bank instead of taking it and spend it there. You spend $160,000 a year on maintenance, and the assessing is approximately $360,000 a year. That's a lot of money. So, I think we're spending more than double the amount. That current assessment of $190,000 a year, which is statutory maximum, is over and above. You're already over and above. So I think we need a kickback on our assessment, rather than you spending the money outright for something that really isn't needed at this time. We're in a hardship. I don't know what Discovery-based budget is, but I don't think you've got the money to go in your budget and spend that money, because people are hurting. So why are we going to put things in a park when we can use it for something else? I just don't see it. So that's just the way I'm looking at things, and Slipper Park is not on my radar to be improved with items. Thank you for hearing me.
Thank you for that. Farron, I'm sorry. That's fine. Other comments from the public?
Yeah, I'm going to have to support Marshall on this one, though. And it was just brought to my attention at the beginning of the meeting, so I'm at a loss for understanding all the facts behind this. And the plan that Farron brought forward, I have no issues with that whatsoever, and that's not what's going on. It's just not completely understanding the benefit assessment district situation, realizing or being told that it's a sliding scale. We've been getting dinged at the upper end of the scale
and not just money and, you know, there's so many other things that are pulling at our wallets these days that we probably should revisit. You know, realize it's not within the CSD's jurisdiction to dictate that annual assessment, something we have to take up with the county and the manager that Farron's speaking with or speaking about. But again, it's an issue that's just brought up at the beginning of the meeting. I would like to see the CSD draw it back till we get a little bit more information, understand what's going on here, and not potentially ramrod a project forward that Discovery Bay West doesn't necessarily agree with or isn't on board with, because it is an assessment district that's all based over there. So just the courtesy of getting some more information, perhaps running it past the HOAs over there, and then making a better informed decision before you go forward with it. That's all.
Appreciate that. Actually, this isn't something that was been ramrod at all. In fact, it was brought up and spoke at length at our workshop, which was specifically to talk about some of these issues. And those that showed up were concerned citizens also, and there was numerous of them that were in support of actually this occurring. So that's why I'm kind of surprised now that you guys are surprised by it, because it's not. It's not something new. It's something, like I said, that has been in the minutes. It's something that was discussed at length at the workshop. And actually, don't blame Farron. Farron was asked to move forward and put together a budget on this. Staff, do you have any comments that you'd like to make? I'm sorry, directors, do you have any comments you'd like to make?
I do, because I can sympathize with what you're saying. But for your opinion, there's also another opinion of a homeowner living there that's all in favor of this project.
Yeah, but... Are those people paying the same amount of taxes?
They're your neighbors. They're your
same amount, right?
So
if you want to take and break it down so that those people pay for the parking.
Well, I'm opposed to this. It doesn't work. To this,
you know, it
type
work.
Of
but hold on.
I agree.
The point I'm making is you've got a lot of families there that are deeply in favor of this. We've got extremely, the feedback's been very positive, the people that want this. And it's the same as my last home was in a district where I was assessed for the schools. I don't have any children. I paid thousands of dollars for the school that I don't use. It's part of living there. You've moved in here, you've got families, you've got kids in here, and you, it's just part of living there. We had it, Melrose. It was thousands, and I fought it, and there's nothing you can do about it. You gotta take what's for the greater good. If you have a population this big, and this piece of it doesn't want it, and this piece of it does want it, that's just the way it's going to go.
You could add children.
I could do it now. they're not going to refund your assessment. It's never going to change. You can go to the county. They're not going to give you your money back. If we don't use the money, we lose it. It just sits there. We don't, and we may as well beautify something with it.
I'm sorry.
I ask you this. I think you should send out something to everybody in Discovery Bay.
And who pays for that, sir?
Excuse me?
Who pays for that?
Me?
I can't pay for that. I don't have any funds for that. You got to pay for that. Your district needs to pay for that. I don't have funds for that.
You got $1 million sitting here. $1 million sitting in this.
Okay. I guess I should, you know, yeah. So just hold on a second. Wait. My fault.
Get control.
Staff.
I just wanted to add one wrinkle to this, is that the school district and Point of Timber School is very aware of this project and is very supportive of it, because they intend on using the facilities for school, daytime school activities. So the school board, the school is interested in as well.
Okay, Director Dawson.
I think the one thing, I understand what you're saying, both Bob and Marshall, right? I understand what you're saying. And, you know, I think that if we started going out and every time we wanted to do something, we had to send out 3,000 letters, nothing would ever get done. We've had a lot of good response to this. This is the first time I've heard anything negative. And, you know, it's in my belief that we move forward on it.
And I would just bring up the jurisdictional issue, and I empathize with it, just like I did earlier tonight, and I hate to be so empathetic. Not pathetic, empathetic.
Take your letters off.
And I would say that that Marshall, the jurisdiction when it comes to your assessment is the county. In fact, we do nothing but make a recommendation or not make a recommendation. That's what happens here at this level. It's not our money. We don't collect it. We do have some say and so on how it's spent. So I appreciate your opinion and appreciate you coming and engaging us and being involved in it. Any other comments from the board? Any more comments from the public?
I just have one question. That means that if I come to this board and request a sports park where I live, you're going to turn it down or you're going to approve?
It doesn't operate that way, I'm afraid.
You understand what I'm saying? It's operating the same
right.
way.
Right. Okay.
If I want
Marshall, I gotta call you. I gotta tell you, we've heard from you twice already, and that's been pretty lenient. We really only allow comments on items once. It's proper protocol, and it's not meant to be a debate. And we understand your opinion. We really do. I'm gonna have to leave it at that at this point. Any comments from anybody else on this issue?
You know, I think Marshall's point about communicating with the homeowners is valid. I think the response back, the challenge to him, who's going to pay for that communication, I think that's ridiculous. I think that in the workshop, you guys talked about better communication, and I think that's a good thing. And I think you guys are going to do it. I'm not saying you're not, but I don't think it's fair to go back to a homeowner that comes in here and makes those comments to challenge him on how we're going to pay for that communication.
Well, you know, I got to tell you that if I went to go pay for that communication, there's people in this audience right here that would scream bloody murder for using ratepayers' money on landscaping issues. So I was just making sure that I was very clear on where the funding would come from something like that, because that's the last thing I would like to do here tonight. Well, so, no, sorry, you've spoken, Mr. Flint. Sorry, Mr. Flint, you've spoken on the issue. Please sit down.
You know, I wonder.
Mr. Flint, please sit down. You've spoken on the issue.
You know,
Mr. Flint, please sit down. You've spoken on the issue.
You know, other people have had an opportunity to speak more than once.
Mr. Flint, please sit
and
down.
You responded to
you
my
spoke.
Comment.
Do I have to close this meeting down because you won't sit down?
I wonder if the county would allow funds to be used to make that communication.
That's up to the county. Any other comment from staff? Any other, is there a motion that I'm going to hear here tonight, or where do we stand on this thing? Oh, I'm sorry.
Do we know, I'm David Price.
Yes, sir.
Do we know where the funding is coming from? And
yes,
is
sir.
Everybody in Discovery Bay assessed equally?
Different districts have different assessments. Do somebody want to address this specifically, or do you have a specific? The answer to your question is no, they're not. In fact, the people in this side of town pay a larger assessment than the people that are speaking this evening, because there's less people here and a larger area to
is
cover.
Is there areas that are grandfathered in that do not pay an assessment for this park?
The people that are paying for this park are the people that are in that district. The landscape has several different, how many different districts do we have, sir?
Five
different districts.
So this is an issue for just that one district?
Yeah, the money is spent in that district.
Yeah, it's only spent within that district, though. We don't take funds from one district and spend it in another district.
Yeah. And this
so it is return to source.
This isn't the final say. All we're saying is that the board and our community so far has been in support of this project, and that we would begin to talk to the county about this. Before this would even go, it would have to go to the Board of Supervisors, where it would be noticed on an agenda for them that this project was going to go. Is it going to get approved? You would have the opportunity to talk to their board, who has a final say on whether that project got approved or not. We're not approving that. We're just trying to work with the county and giving the direction that we can talk about this.
And does the county pay for a part of it? Or is it all through?
It's through that landscape zone.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. So, is there a recommendation from the board here this evening?
I recommend that we send a letter of support to the county for the Sletford Park Improvement Project.
Okay, that motion has been made and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? Excuse me, hearing none. All those in favor of supporting this, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Thank you, Karen. Thank you, staff. Who's up, Gerald or Aaron? I'm guessing Gerald. It's your turn, buddy. How you doing?
Very good.
Welcome this evening. Hello, Aaron.
Ready to get an umbrella or roof bar or anything?
No, I have towels, so just take care of the leak.
You can put water.
Underwater you can't drink. Yeah, no, I don't think so. I've heard that.
That's true.
You shouldn't have been using this. Yes, you can always be keeping the solids.
Gerald, you got the whole place left. Excuse me?
You shouldn't have engaged Kaniskos. Give him 3 minutes.
Don't leave. Don't hurt my people.
They all walked out, and they're all new faces.
Who did I engage?
You had a dialogue going. You were in debate.
I stopped it.
I know you did.
Yeah. We're waiting for Dave to get started.
Are we going to be serving popcorn or anything?
All right, so this is.
Can you turn the rain on?
Yes, sir. You're up, Gerald.
Lost our audience.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we're talking about the January monthly report. You're going to see right off of here that there were 5 wastewater violations that occurred in December. That's a tough thing to start off with anybody, but I have to explain that a little bit. These are what we call, what are called 7-day median calculated violations. They look at a particular date a sample was collected, and then it looks back at 7 other days, previous days, that samples were collected. And it takes all those numbers that come in, run them from high to low, and if there's an odd number of those, you pick the center one. If there's an even number of digits, you pick the 2 center ones, divide by 2, and that's your number. And that's how they determine a 7-day median. And there were 5 days on the 19th, the 21st, 4th, and 5th, I believe the 6th and 6th as well, that had a 30 or a 40 a number associated with that, and our limit is 23. And there's not really anything I've been able to put my hand on as to why it occurred. We do know that we brought on the new UV disinfection system on the 4th. We kind of ran through a process of a split flow, and then on the 24th we moved to a full flow, and the turbidity has been slightly higher, but not, these samples aren't all like turbidity triggered samples, they're normal samples that we collect, so I haven't really been able to determine what exactly is the reason for having the disinfection issue, but we're working through it.
Hey, Gerald, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Your slide says December. Our sheet says January. Which one's right?
December.
Our compliance summary, or am I not looking at the same thing?
This is a.
I just want to know if we're talking about the same document here. My monthly operations report says 5 wastewater permit limit excursions occurred in January.
This may not be the same report.
Yeah. Well, but it says the same thing. It's just
the same dates, 19th,
different revision.
25th and 26th.
I think that this is a typo. Your report today is telling us what happened in December. Is that correct? Or is it telling us what happened in January?
January.
So that should be January. I'm sorry, I'm not picking on you. I just want to make sure that we're talking about the same thing.
The report tonight is for the month of January.
It's for the month of January.
Okay.
Okay, so that should say January.
Okay.
It should say January.
Very good. No problem. I'm sorry.
There were also no violations occurred, no water violations that occurred in January.
Okay.
And no sanitary sewer events,
overflow
events that occurred in January.
Thank you.
We've operated 517 days without an incident. We've began looking at two different positions. This is near and dear to Mark. For the one position, we're down to three candidates. They're actually spread out quite a bit. One's from North Carolina, one's from San Diego, and one's over in Rodeo, is it? That's and we're honing down on that. So if we got them to approve now, of course, they accepted the offer, it'd probably be a couple weeks before they came. Probably more like a month, because it takes about a month to onboard. There's always the 2-week notice they give the current employee. We had 14 triggered sampling events, but we only collected seven of those events. What we've done is we've discussed with the regional board that because we can't collect a sample after hours and get it to a laboratory, the sample is out of a hold time. And then it makes it, therefore, it's not valid. So it doesn't really make any sense to collect the sample. So they've said collect samples from 3 a.m. to 3 p.m. and not on the weekends. So of those 14 triggered events, which are NTU events, that's the turbidity, seven of them we collected samples for. And we had, there's a couple issues here. One of the events in particular was a flow interruption of the effluent pumps. The vendor was out wanting to stick a camera down inside the system. The system's online, we couldn't divert because it hadn't been approved to use that diversion valve yet. So we had to shut the effluent pumps off and the export pumps off and drain it down and have them go inside and clean it. When we turned the system back on, it brought a bunch of turbidity into the system. And that's kind of a typical thing. Wastewater plants like to be steady state. They don't like to be turned on and shut off. So we had 11 call-outs. These are for the types of things that would be, for example, an NTU process, So if an operator gets called out to come out to the plant, and it is for turbidity, they may not collect a sample, but they still have to come out, investigate, look at the meter. So what we normally do is pull the meter, wipe it off, clean it up, put it back in, and oftentimes that makes a difference. So there's a lot of issues with that right now. There have been a few false alerts. We had 6 colored water calls in the month of January. We had done some work at Cherry Hills. I think Brindle spoke about that last month, where we've gone in there and there's 2 barrels of sewer lines in there, and we're cleaning those lines. And when you stir up the water, use the water in the fire hydrants to fill up the trucks, you essentially pull turbid water or iron water, or iron sediment that's in the pipelines, stir it up a little bit. There was some other places throughout the town. There was some PSI and volume testing done as part of the water master plan that also stirred up some of that sediment. There was a little over 51 million gallons of wastewater treated. There was a notice of violation for November issued. This is for not collecting the data on the UV. We believe that's in the past. We think that January we're going to be able to produce all the data that's necessary, and that this shouldn't be any more issues from this point forward as far as getting a monitoring and reporting program violation.
So automated? An automated program? It's all automated at this point?
It's pretty automated, yeah. Okay. There's maybe a couple little fine-tuned things that we're doing, but yeah, our IT guys have worked quite a bit on this, and we think that this is all ironed out now. So all the gallon per minute per lamp, all the banks online, all the power systems, everything that the state says they want in the permit, we'll be able to pull up. You've heard that we submitted our third successful ESMR, so we are no longer submitting paper SMR reports. In the third submittal, when they reviewed that, they also said we expect the quarterly and the annual and the semi-annual to be done as well. We hadn't started working on those yet, so we had to scramble pretty quickly to get those done by the end of the year, like 3 weeks. So, but we got them done.
All the annual flow meter calibrations have been completed. As far as collections, we had some training on the Aquatech. This is the vacuum truck that the town has out there. We had some guys come out and give us some training on that. We cleaned only about 1,500 feet. We have engaged the group from Richmond again to come out twice a week. They've been out twice a week all of January and all of February. The water treatment plant, there were 16 water distribution samples collected. All the results came back absent of coliform. The chrome results, the chrome 6 results came back non-detect for all the wells. We distributed 52.35 million gallons to the residents. We brought well 4 online, and filters A and B have been conditioned, so they're online. There was a maintenance in December. Now, this is for December, $5,072. There were 272 preventive maintenance or corrective maintenance items done at 139 hours in January. And that blank screen means that's done.
So we have the topic. We lose any employees this month?
We did not lose any employees this month.
Wreck any cars?
There were no wrecked vehicles.
You're brutal.
Just asking.
You know, it wouldn't be the same if I didn't ask you.
I'm feeling the love.
How are we doing on PMs? Are we caught up?
With 272?
Well, I don't know how many we did, but we were way behind, and then we were pretty much caught up. And are we?
Well, what happened was, for that backlog that was done, we had a large number, and we were planning on, you know, we're working through the contract, and part of that contract is approving additional staff and types of people to come on. And we're kind of waiting for that to complete before we bring in a rush of people. We think it'll take probably 3 weeks, three weeks to attack that and to knock out all that there were. We reduced that number down considerably. It was right around 800, I believe. We're down to about 360. Every PM that was printed out in January has been completed, so we're well on a good track to complete all the PMs that come out each month. And again, the second person that we want to hire, which we're still waiting, I'm waiting for approval for, is a collection / maintenance mechanic type person who can help us with these going forward.
Great. Any questions from staff? Chris, do you have any? Ray, do you have any questions? Mark? Any questions from the public? Any questions from the 7 that are still here about any of these issues?
Make sure Gerald comes at the very end next time.
I'm like an intermission.
Well, maybe we bring Gerald at the beginning.
No.
None. Gerald, thank you for the report. Staff, do you have anything to add to that? Staff, Virgil, anything that you'd like to add to that?
Other than you're aware that we had a fire hydrant issue on Friday evening that we had to shut off the water for a group of homes.
And the photographer was not flattering at all to you, by the way.
Oh, I didn't even...
It was very blurry. Was that you that took the picture?
It was my cell phone.
Oh, man. You were recognizable, even though. I don't know who's laying on the ground under you, but you were recognizable.
One of the first ones to grab a shovel and get in there and start shoveling.
Who's going
to
build
that car that got knocked into it got blasted. I saw it sitting out there in the morning.
I guess that homeowner left it there for a particular reason.
So, anyway, appreciate that, Gerald. Appreciate the report. Hearing no other comments.
I have a question. I want to know what happened.
Yeah. Oh,
what happened to the
Friday evening around 8, we had a vehicle that was traveling at faster than 25 miles an hour. Rear-ran a Chevrolet SUV, pushing that into the fire hydrant and knocking it over.
Oh.
And actually
where
resting on top of the fire.
On Discovery Bay Boulevard.
Right across the street from where the limos are, just about.
Crossing
between Cabrillo and River Lake.
Oh, right over here by the Pattersons, right across from the Pattersons.
Right across the street. Right across the street. Sit by top.
Yeah.
Who's paying for that?
The CHP calculates that we're probably doing 45 to 50 driver of that van.
He was driving a van in there.
Was he a resident?
Had a motorcycle in the back. Yes, he is.
Is he going to be responsible for those costs?
Well, yes, and insurance matter of fact, his insurance agent called today, and they have limited funds.
Yeah,
that'd be very interesting.
He was actually in this afternoon, the gentleman that caused the accident, and we will be discussing with him how he will be able to pay us back.
Is he a homeowner?
I feel like
it's a repair, I guess.
We get the charge for the time that they spent out there working on it and the meat.
Yeah, we're billing it, right?
Lost the water as well.
Yeah.
At least an hour.
At least an hour.
Thank you for that report.
Yeah, thanks for getting on that.
No, that was my, we brought that up. So anyway, okay. Back to the front. Almost. Manager's report. Manager's reports. Anybody, any of our managers want to speak tonight?
I do have a little show and tell for you. This is a fabric gasket that is from a fire hydrant, Virgil. Pass that down. And shows you what the corrosive nature of our soils can do to things. And this is a little dirty, but you can see, up here at the top.
It's an old-fashioned glaze.
This is a water connection, a brass water connection that was connected to a galvanized, and it broke through and caused a water leak. If you want to pass that along and take a look at that. And that was over in the Lakeshore. Just to give you an idea, and that hasn't been in there very long.
Yeah, Lakeshore, it couldn't have been in there.
We have been experienced, Chinese. As you know, a number of leaks over in the, on the
Beaver area.
Beaver Lane area. We've actually had a couple of them just this past weekend. Those are starting to add up. Yeah, so we're going to be bringing back a plan to the board on how to deal with Beaver Lane here pretty soon. Just for the board's information and for the public, I have been receiving quite a number of phone calls and inquiries regarding the internship program. A lot of kids, both high school and college, are interested in it.
Well, that's great.
And as we discussed earlier, the press releases regarding the budget, the communications, and the community center committees went out today. And they are posted, if not yet, soon on our website.
Thank you. How's the manhole deal going over there on Cherry Hill? Is that completed? Manhole repairs, refurbishing?
Three of them have been done. Yeah.
How many left to do?
We probably have about 15 or 16 that we would love to do, but we'll spread them out over the next few years.
There was also, Virgil, I'm sorry, there was an issue with regards to the flow on Cherry Hills where the two pipes come together from Centex.
We are still working on that right now.
Got any solution on that?
Not yet.
It's still? Okay. All right. Any other questions? District Legal Counsel's report.
Just one comment. I wish the folks who were here making public comment before would be here right now. Just to advise you, you do not have any jurisdiction over a owner's association.
I was pretty much aware of that, but I still felt that they needed an environment to be able to at least express their opinions, and I hope I wasn't out of line by allowing them to do that.
No, it was appropriate to allow them to comment because they were asking you to do something.
Yes.
It's just you don't have authority to do anything.
That's unfortunate, but I believe you. Thank you for that, counsel. And I apologize. Reiterate my apologies of earlier for if I betrayed the board's trust. I apologize for that, and I didn't even think about it that way until Director Tetro pointed it out to me, and I sincerely apologize for that. But I also apologize for allowing the meeting to get a little out of hand with some crosstalk today. It shouldn't happen. It was a new member that hadn't spoken before, and I sometimes feel empathetic to their situation. I allowed it to happen, so I apologize for letting that occur also. Correspondence is listed, public records listed. Any future agenda items that anybody at this point can see that needs to go on the agenda?
I'm getting the roof fixed.
The holy water will be.
I don't sit there, take your time.
Director Steele, anything? Carol, you have anything you want on the agenda?
Umbrella. Okay. Yeah, what about umbrella?
I need to send you. Hearing none.
You want to send me a rebuttal?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, what is this?
I already signed this thing. What do I see?
Yep.
I know it's thrown out over here.
I know it was over there before. I know.
Exactly.
Put that to the same.
For Dave?
Kevin, who set us up?
Huh?
Who set us up with email?
Who set us? I don't know where that came from.
Oh, are you doing? Good?
How are you?
Look at this. Look.
Gotta have a.
Look.
Gotta have a.